Let's open with hymn number 224. Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth, O Lord. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Share thy blessed gifts with our needy brethren, that we may be found faithful stewards of thy gifts, and abide in thy grace when we shall be removed from our stewardship, and shall come before thy judgment, through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this ninth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, the first through the ninth verse. The preparations of the heart are in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 6th through the 13th verse. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things were written for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Here ends the epistle lesson. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Hallelujah. Chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 9th verse. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of wheat, of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Here ends the gospel. We now now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We sing hymn number 430.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 1st through the 10th verse. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned again after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them, and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Be redeemed of the Lord. The children of this world are, in their day, wiser than the children of God. So says Jesus in our gospel lesson. What does he mean? In his parable, there is a steward who wasted the goods which his Lord had entrusted to him. The steward was guilty as charged. He had no excuse. He did not deserve to be steward. If his Lord judged him rightly, he would certainly lose his job, and then where would he find work? Who would hire him after he had been accused of embezzlement? He was too much a weakling to dig and too ashamed to beg. In for a penny, in for a pound, he thought. He shrewdly called all of his Lord's debtors forward and forgave them a portion of their debts. That way, if he was cast out from his stewardship, perhaps they would remember his kindness, and at least one of them would be likely to hire him themselves. Now notice that what that man did was to waste more of his Lord's goods, forgiving debts that he had no right to forgive. But nevertheless, his Lord commended him, because he recognized the shrewd wisdom of his decision. What are we to learn from this strange parable? Everything that the unjust steward does is wicked and self-centered. Ah, but there's one lesson to be learned. If even unrighteous men can wisely apply their talents and resources to make friends in this world, how much more can the children of God make friends for the kingdom of heaven by using the righteous mammon and gifts which God has given us? That means using our earthly goods as best we can to show kindness to the men of this world when they are in need. But there's an even greater and inexhaustible store of riches which God has given us, by which we can forgive the debts which men owe unto God. Through the word of the gospel, we can declare to men who are burdened with the harsh demands of God's law, "I forgive you your sins. Your bill of debt is paid." And thereby, such men will be ready to return the favor and grant us help and comfort when we stumble or fall. This truly is wisdom. It seems like such a simple lesson that when we use the gifts which God has given us, we ourselves receive a great benefit. Therefore, do not hoard God's gifts, whether they are earthly or spiritual. But this lesson is not obvious to the flesh, for by nature we hoard what we have and want to keep it to ourselves. And therefore Jesus gives us this parable, speaking about earthly things and worldly men, so that we might take notice and apply the lesson to God's good gifts with which He has entrusted us. The Lord is good to His children in all of these things that He gives. Would that people would learn to cherish and make use of what God has given, rather than hoarding it and refusing to put it to use. In America, God has given us a good government, established upon righteous principles. What other nation was ever founded upon the principle that our rights as men come from God, that the powers that be are instituted by God to protect those rights? Upon this principle, we have prospered as a nation. But as it always is, later generations have taken for granted the tremendous blessings which they have been given. And now they demand something else. They've become unrighteous stewards of the gifts of freedom and self-rule. They think that the good things that God has given are not good enough. But the real problem is that they are not even making use of His gifts. The unrighteous steward kept his job because he put what he had been given to wise use. The men of our nation will not use the gifts and freedom which God has given, and therefore they will lose their stewardship. They want kings after their own hearts, just like the other nations have, and God will give them what they want. Oh, that the church would learn this lesson in our day. For whatever freedom we have as Americans, our freedom as Christians is far greater. And it remains ours even when our nation becomes a dictatorship. But this lesson is not being learned at all. All but a remnant in the church have rejected the wonderful freedom which God has given us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There He has placed into our hands an inexhaustible treasure of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. These He gives to us freely and expects us to put them to use, applying them to ourselves and to one another. But what have Christians done with this? They have turned the gracious rule of God aside, whereby Christ Jesus has done all things for men, and demand rulers after their own heart that demand that men do all things for God. They want to be ruled by the law, and given a list of things to do or not to do. They want a tyrannical king rather than a gracious Lord. And because they have rejected the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is giving them what they want. Let us now see whether they prosper under this harsh and unyielding new ruler which they demand. God often gives men what they want, not as a gift, but as a punishment. When the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt, they did not choose Moses to rule over them. The Lord did. When Israel entered into the promised land and Moses went up into the mountain and died, it was not the people who appointed Joshua to be his successor, but the Lord. And when Israel occupied the promised land, they did not appoint their own kings, but the Lord called judges. And He set them up to rule over Israel. In this way, God ruled His people in a fairly direct manner. God did not always call men to be judges directly. Sometimes they were appointed through other judges whom God had already called. Nevertheless, it was not men, but from God, but God from whom they derived all their authority. And finally, even though God had provided judges who ruled over Israel graciously and effectively, the people began to envy the nations around them who were ruled by kings. Under the judges, the children of Israel did not lack for bread. The Lord had successfully protected them from foreign dominion. They lacked nothing that they needed. They were free, in large part, from taxation and other burdensome laws. But they came to despise this freedom. They wanted to be just like their neighbors who had kings to rule over them. Therefore, they were looking for an excuse to reject the judges whom God had sent. The excuse came when Samuel was growing too old to judge Israel all by himself. And so he appointed his sons to judge Beersheba. But his sons were wicked. They did not judge righteously. They abused their power for personal gain. Now, of course, a king was not going to solve any of those problems. Kings could be just as wicked as these judges were, and in fact, would be far more difficult for the people to remove if they abused their power and demand far more from the people than the judges demanded. The sons of Samuel could have been replaced with better judges because they were abusing their office. That certainly would have been just. Their stewardship could have been taken away from them. But then the people did not want the Lord to rule over them through judges, whether they were wicked or righteous. They wanted a king. Therefore, we see how right Samuel was to be displeased. He saw right through the request of the elders of Israel to the heart of the matter. It wasn't that there was no possible way for God to rule over Israel through Saul, through Samuel and other judges. The people had rejected the rulers whom God had placed over them. But God reminded Samuel, it was not Samuel whom the people rejected, but God himself who had appointed him to judge. In rejecting the rule of the judges, the people were really rejecting the rule of grace for the rule of the law. Because think of what the people had under the rulers whom up to this time God had given them. Despite their constant rebellion, they had grace. For until this time, the rulers that God had given led the people to seek God for his mercy, to trust him for his help. Yes, even when they fell away into idolatry, there God's rulers were calling them back to repentance. And they did repent. Moses, Joshua, and the judges led the people to worship the Lord who had graciously delivered them from Egypt and then protected them from the nations of Canaan. Under these gracious rulers, when Israel prospered and overcame their enemies, they did so because they repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord to deliver them. By the judges, God mercifully and constantly called his people back from idolatry and unbelief. And therefore, when they put their faith in the Lord, they had great success. When they tried to conquer with their own might or doubted the help of the Lord, they failed. And now under Samuel, they blamed their failure, not upon their own unbelief, but upon God himself. Rather than living under the protection of God's grace, they wanted the might of an earthly king to rule over them. Paul declares in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority from God except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." This means that even though Israel asked for a king and had rejected the Lord from ruling over them, they would not escape his rule or command at all, but only they would have new masters. If they wanted a king, God would give them a king. For sometimes, the best way that God can teach you a lesson is by giving you what you want. And we see the fruit of their request. The number of righteous kings in Israel, in their entire history, can be counted on one hand. David, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. After that, there were a small number of kings who reigned righteously for a time, and for a time were wicked idolaters: Saul, Solomon, Joash, Amaziah, Rehoboam, and Manasseh. All the other kings rejected the Lord entirely, and they led the people into idolatry of every sort, and brought endless suffering upon their heads as a result. And as a result, Israel was continually being repressed and subjugated by foreign powers as punishment for their wickedness. They were far worse off under kings than under judges. But so it always is when men reject the gracious rule of God. God has given the church a gracious ruler above all others. Jesus Christ, His only Son, is our head. His rule over us is all grace. For it is not by following laws and rules, but by His work on Calvary and His Spirit's calling that we are delivered from sin and death, made children of everlasting life. These are gracious gifts, because they're given to undeserving sinners. They are given with but a single demand. Believe, and it is yours. With this grace, God rules over His church. And He places this grace into our hands. And He bids us to use it as good stewards, not hoarding it or casting it aside, but forgiving one another and announcing to our neighbor and to men who are afar off that God in Christ Jesus is a gracious Lord who forgives all their iniquities. But in the Christian churches today, men do not want to be ruled by the grace of God, but by His law. Do you know why so much of modern preaching has forgotten the cross of Jesus Christ? Because the man upon that cross was not a new lawgiver, but a humble servant who suffered and died for the sins of the people. The natural man does not understand such mercy and grace. He only understands rules and laws such as kings make. And Jesus refused to be such a king. Yes, isn't it wonderful, he thinks, that God is good and loving in Christ Jesus. But I know this already. Now tell me how to live in life and succeed. But by demanding such preaching, they are not only asking for a harsh king, but they are wasting their Lord's goods of grace and mercy. How long will it be before they forget Jesus entirely and are cast out of their stewardship? It is happening around us all the time. Therefore, do not turn aside from the gracious rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. For what could you ever desire more than to have a Lord who has done all things for you, who has kept every commandment and ordinance of God in your place, who has taken the wrath of God away from you by taking away your sins, who has freely given you eternal life and planted in you a loving heart? These are the treasures of grace which God has entrusted to you as part of His gracious rule. Would you seek another master? God forbid. Let us rather, as good stewards, put the grace of God to use among us, that we might prosper in His grace and make new friends for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, receive these gifts which we offer unto thee, and make them fruitful in the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who searchest all hearts and knowest all thoughts, grant us now as we approach the throne of thy grace, true humility and penitence. Remember not the sins of our youth or our manifold transgressions, but according to thy tender mercies and for the sake of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, pardon our iniquity. By the indwelling of thy Holy Spirit, save us from lusting after evil things, from idolatry, from immorality, from unbelief, or other great and shameful sins. Grant us steadfast faith that in every trial we may in no wise test thy patience by murmuring, complaint, or doubt. Lead us not into temptation, but strengthen us by thy power to withstand it in the evil day, and finally be delivered from the reach of the tempter's arm. Give unto us true understanding of thy word, so that we may be guided in all judgment and be shown the way that leads to everlasting life. Keep before us the warning and admonition of the law. Enable us to learn from it what we ought to do and what thou hast forbidden and will punish. And help us to obey thy commandments with joy. We thank thee for all thy benefits. Help us to use with faithful stewardship all that thou hast bestowed upon us, being heartily grateful for thine unfailing goodness and deeply conscious that thou wilt call us one day to give an account of our stewardship. And remember, O Lord, the covenant thou hast made with thy people. Provide for them pastors who shall lead them to the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ, that they may drink from the living fountain, the pure waters of eternal life. Preserve them from all who would beguile them with false words, and keep them from all heresy, division, or false religion. Keep our country within thy care, that honor and integrity may be upheld, and that all lawlessness may be put down. Especially do we entreat thy favor upon all our rulers, that they may be endowed with wisdom to govern after thy good pleasure. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and godliness, and may rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. We pray for all who are ill or who are in danger of body or soul, for all who are anxious or suffering, disappointment. Be thou present with them in their affliction. Show them the way out of all their troubles, and save them for thy mercy's sake. Heavenly Father, who didst not spare thy Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions which thou readest in our hearts, in his name. Amen. We sing hymn 437.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the name of the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take it, please. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Strengthen us through the same, in faith towards Thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Lord, this is so free.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.